But if you'll be finding 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll be in the Word of God there tonight. Honestly, both in the church that I grew up in when I would come back from college, as well as the church that I worked in for 2 years up in Georgia, I was always able to find a way to get out of singing solos. Now, on the rare occasion, maybe once or twice, I sang in a group of 10 people where you couldn't hear me anyway, so well played, Pastor. Well played. As we look in the Word of God tonight, in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, the message that I want to preach to you tonight is not going to be anything new. It's not something that you do not already know. However, I believe it's a message of the utmost importance. In the life of a Christian, it's something that we need to be reminded of again and again. And I believe it's a subject that so often we struggle with. The longer that I'm in the ministry, and I haven't been in the ministry very long at all, however, I've had opportunities to work at a Christian camp for 3 years. I've had the opportunity to be around many teenagers. And I find increasingly that teenagers, either one of two things happen. Either they fail to recognize the voice of God when He's speaking to their hearts, or either they recognize it and have no idea how to respond when He does. But thinking about that, it's not only teenagers, but it's adults as well. We have a hard time recognizing God's voice. And even when we do realize that God is speaking to our hearts, we have a hard time understanding how we ought to respond to the Lord as He speaks to us. So I want to preach to you tonight on what to do when God speaks. And in order to do that, we're going to look at the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, a very familiar passage, but we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, and Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's ask God's blessing on the service tonight. Father, we do love you, and I do pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move throughout our hearts tonight. Lord, this is not a new message. This is something that's been in thy word. And God, I pray that as I preach this message, that the Holy Spirit of God would use me and speak through me to reach the hearts of thy people. Lord, I recognize my insufficiency, and I need you tonight. God, I pray that you would help each of us not only to recognize the voice of God, but to know how we ought to respond when you choose to speak to us. We love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be in thy house. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your Bible ready. We're going to turn to several different verses here in the beginning of the message. But along this subject of how do you know when God is speaking and how do you respond when He does, we must first understand, when does God speak to our hearts? When is God speaking? If you were to answer that question tonight, I probably would get several different answers as to when does God speak. But I want you to think through this honestly in your life and in my life. How often does God speak? How much does He desire to speak to our hearts? When does God speak? And there's a very simple answer to the question, and I'm going to go through Scripture and prove it. But the answer, when does God speak? And the answer is, He always is speaking. He is always trying to get a hold of our hearts. Almighty God always desires to draw us closer unto Himself. It's not just when you're in church that He desires to speak to your heart. It's all the time. So notice with me, first of all, when does God speak? Every time that the Word of God is preached, God desires to speak to your heart. There will never be a time when you sit under the sound of preaching that God does not have something specific for you as an individual. You never can go to a service and say, you know what? I'm good. I'm right before God. There's nothing for me to get out of this message. It's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit of God uses the preaching of His Word to speak to our hearts. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55 quickly in verse number 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. The Bible says, Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." We see a promise here in Isaiah that the word of God shall not return void. This is a promise to you and I that any time somebody stands to preach the glorious Word of God, God desires to speak. His Word will not return void, but it will accomplish what He desires for it to do. Friend, understand tonight, when does God speak? He speaks through the preaching of His Word. But not only through the preaching of His Word, He speaks every single time that you and I sit down to read the Bible. Now understand, you may not receive something every time you read your Bible, but that's not God's fault, that's ours. Because when we open the pages of Scripture and we have a desire in our heart and we're seeking after God, He will speak to us. He will open our understanding. Take your Bibles to the book of Psalm in verse 119. Psalm 119, a very familiar chapter in the book of Psalms. And as you turn there, a very familiar verse, Psalm 119 and verse 105. The Bible says here, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." There are many verses that illustrate this point, but I promise you that every time you open your Word of God and you read the mind of Christ, He desires to speak to your heart. And if you'll listen, you'll gain something from the Word of God. The psalmist said, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path." As I read the Word of God, I understand the next step that I should take. And when I, by faith, take it, He reveals another step to me in my Christian walk. He says, "It's the Word of God that gives me guidance, that gives me strength. It helps me to know my God better." And as a Christian, do you understand tonight that the Christian life is the unending pursuit of Jesus Christ? We never get to a place where we arrive, but for all of eternity, we will get to know our God better and better. And there's no greater thing than that. I said God is always speaking through His Word as He's preached, through the Bible as we open its pages for ourselves. But not only that, look over in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 19. We see another way in which God is speaking to our hearts. In Ephesians 5:19, I submit to you that God not only speaks through the preaching of His Word, through the reading of His Word, but God desires to speak through godly hymns, through the godly music that we allow into our lives. By the way, you notice my voice cracked during the preaching, not the singing, so we did okay. But in Ephesians 5, in verse number 19, the Word of God says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." A few pages over, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 16. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." God desires to speak to us through godly music. Oh, how a heart can be stirred by the Holy Spirit of God when somebody stands, not as somebody who is to be looked at, but they stand behind the pulpit and they sing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ out of a heart of love to God, and they sing exalting the name of Jesus. How can a song speak to our hearts? Many a heart can be moved by the hymns that are recorded in our hymn book and the truth that's therein. And you realize that when you come to church, we don't have around 30 minutes of congregational hymns and offerings and special music just to fill time. It's because Almighty God desires to prepare our hearts for the message. We come into church, and perhaps when we come, we have all kinds of things on our mind, things of the day and things that's happened through the week. But when we stand and we sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," oh, how it gets our minds focused on the spiritual. God speaks to our hearts through music. And by the way, it's my conviction that we ought to hold our music to the same standard we hold the Bible. It ought to be doctrinally sound. It ought to be edifying to the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting up the name of Christ. There's no time, and I have no use for music that tries to mix the world and the holiness. The Bible says, "What communion hath light with darkness?" We have no time for that. But God desires to speak through godly music. Not only that, on the subject of God always speaking, the Bible speaks much about the mornings and how we are to seek God early and how God is speaking to us in the morning hours. There are several verses. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Psalm 55, 17 says, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Psalm 59, verse 16, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Psalm 92 and verse 2, "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." And then lastly, Proverbs 8 and verse 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." I believe that God Almighty has placed a great emphasis on the morning hours in His Word. We saw just here a few verses where God mentions seeking Him early in the morning. I believe that as a Christian, there ought to be a time every morning where we get alone with God, we get quiet with God, and we allow God to speak to our hearts. As we begin the day, before all the distractions and all the cares of this life come upon us, before Satan allows the distractions to come beating in our life, we begin our day with God. We begin our day getting alone with God. Pastor says often, why not wake up 30 minutes early? Why not get up a little earlier to make sure that you start your day in the Word of God, with God? Because friend, God speaks in the morning hours. But did you know God also speaks in the middle of the day? In your busiest moment, when you feel like you can't even think, God is still in that moment desiring to speak to your heart. If you're already in the book of Psalms, turn over to chapter 55, Psalm 55. We see here another example of this. God speaking in the middle of the day. Psalm 55 and verse 17. The Bible says here, "Again, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The psalmist said, even in the middle of the day, at noon, God desires to speak. One more verse with me, Acts chapter number 22 and verse 6. I find a great example here of how God, in the middle of the day, desires to speak to us. In Acts chapter number 22, the Bible records for us in verse number 6, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." We see here, this is where the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as he was on his way to Damascus, as he was in the middle of his day, he was on a mission, he had things going on in his life. This was not just idle time for Saul at the moment. He was on a mission. Yet in the middle of the day, in the middle of the busyness of his life, that's when God chose to speak to Paul. That's when God chose to reveal himself unto the apostle. Friend, God speaks to us in the morning, during the middle of the day. He speaks to us when the preaching is being done, when we read the Word of God, when we sing the hymns, or you're in your car and you're listening to godly music. And then we see in our text here in 1 Samuel that God desires to speak to our hearts in the evening. It was in the evening, as Samuel had laid down to bed, that God began to call out unto Samuel. The point tonight is this. When does God speak? Always. Always. Every moment of every day, if you're listening, God has a desire to get your attention. But notice with me, not only when does God speak, but I want you to understand, how does God speak? Does God thunder forth a loud voice that we can audibly hear, that is completely unmistakable? No. The Bible records to us that when God speaks to us, it's in our heart The Holy Spirit of God will speak in a still small voice. We have to be listening. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, we find in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Can you just imagine the scene that's taking place? Here we see the mountain literally is rent and the rocks are broken in pieces, and then there's an earthquake and there's fire. And in each of these, the loud noise, the volume, yet God was not in any of it. But through it all, there was a still small voice continually that God was speaking. In the middle of the noise, in the middle of the distractions, God was speaking in a still small voice. I can't imagine exactly what it would have been like to be there where Elijah was, how loud and how noisy it must have been to hear the rocks breaking in pieces, to hear the earth quaking. I would imagine it was a great noise. But did you know that that probably pales in comparison to the noise and the distractions that take place in our lives every single day? There is so much busyness and so much noise, so much distraction that goes on each and every day in our lives that so often we completely fail to hear the voice of God. We're distracted by the distractions, the noise. Just an example, I don't have my cell phone on me. It's down there in the pew. But by the way, that cell phone, I don't believe in and of itself that our cell phones are evil, but I do believe that Satan has become a master in using our cell phones to completely distract and dominate our lives so that we don't have time to listen unto God when He speaks. I'm not against the internet and I'm not against television, but Satan has used these things masterfully to distract us and occupy all of our time. It's noise in our lives, and God is not in the noise. He's in the still small voice behind the busyness of our lives. Again, I'm not against the internet. I praise God that because of the internet, our messages, our services can be broadcasted worldwide. But how often and how easy have we allowed our phones, our computers, our television, our technology to be a tool in Satan's army to distract us from the truth and what's most important? And it's not just technology, but you think about the average American and all the things that take place throughout our day and how little of it is spent with God. Too much noise. And God says here, His voice was not in the earthquake. It was not in the rocks rending and all the volume and distractions that took place. There was a still small voice. And Elijah, praise God, was listening for that voice. He wasn't distracted by all the pomp and circumstance. He was listening for the voice of God. Can I tell you tonight, Christian, there needs to be time in our life when we slow down and we listen for the voice of God. We ought not be controlled and dominated by all the things in our life that we miss out on hearing when God is speaking to our hearts. It's in the midst of the noise. It's in the midst of all the chaos of this world that God is continuously speaking. And listen, friend, if you don't hear the voice of God on a regular basis, if you can't see that God is speaking to you every single day, you're too busy. There's too much noise and you need to get quiet. And you need to slow down and find time to get alone with God. But not only that, there's a great need to know the difference between the Holy Spirit's leading and personal preference. You know, it's possible tonight to be convinced that doing a certain thing is God's leading when in fact it's not God's leading at all. it's possible to allow our personal preference, even in the ministry. Perhaps it's deciding to take something on that we believe that we would be good at, but it's never been God's leading for us to take it on. And yet we convince ourselves because we would prefer it. We want the accolades, or perhaps we feel like we would be good at it. And we impose our preference over God's voice. Or perhaps, God forbid, we justify what we're doing because it's what we desire. And we justify it by saying it's God's will. And God has never confirmed that in our lives. I think about this often, imposing our preference over the will of God. How often that I've seen young people in Bible college and at the Bill Rice Ranch as a counselor, a young man will come up and say, "Man, this girl, she is so beautiful. I really think this is God's will for my life. I'm going to marry that girl." Or perhaps a young lady looks at this young man and says, "Man, he's so handsome. I really think this is the will of God." And I want to ask them, how are you convinced it's the will of God when you've never consulted God in the first place? You haven't even asked Him if it was His will. You see the beauty and you see the handsomeness of the young man, and your preference has been imposed over the will of God. And that may be a weak example, but it happens every day in our lives, in our ministry, just in the day-to-day activities. We need to be careful that we're listening to God's voice, that our faith is in God, not in ourselves. I believe that every verse in the Bible is inspired. I believe every verse in the Bible ought to be given attention to. It was placed there by God for all of eternity. However, when God repeats Himself in the Bible, I believe we ought to pay extra attention. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 and in 16:25, the same verse is repeated. "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We see this recorded twice, but take notice of the phrase, "seemeth right." Friend, if we're not careful, we're going to live our lives by what seems right. But if it's not God's will, it's not God's voice, the Bible says the end of it are the ways of death. I wonder tonight, do you hear the voice of God? Do you recognize that it's God who's desiring to speak to your heart? Or do you go through life imposing your own preference over the voice of God? Sometimes we just think we know best. We think we're yielding to the Holy Spirit. But in truth, we mistake God's leading for a cheap substitute. I believe that one of Satan's greatest attacks is that which is closest to the truth, but not the truth. And oftentimes, Satan will come to us disguised as God and disguised as the things of God, trying to get us to be distracted, to get off the mark, to do something that God did not intend. It may sound good, it may be a good thing, but if it's not what God has confirmed in our hearts, it's the wrong thing. We need to be careful as a Christian. We need to know God well enough. We recognize His voice so that when there's a cheap substitute and Satan comes in the clothes of a Christian and he comes trying to convince us that it's a good thing, we know the difference when it's God and when it's something that is a cheap substitute. Understand tonight, God is always speaking. He speaks to us in a still small voice. But now notice with me this, and this is the application. This is where we bring it home. How do we respond when God speaks? If you'll turn back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to see a few things in the life of Samuel that I believe ought to be present in our life when we're responding to God. How should we respond when God speaks? Notice with me, first of all, that Samuel, the moment he recognized that God was the one calling unto him, he answered. But not only did he answer, every time that he was called, he answered immediately without delay. If you look in verse number 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." Verse number 6, "And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.'" Verse number 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I.'" Verse number 10, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" You look at this passage of Scripture and you see that four times God called unto Samuel, and every single time, without delay, Samuel answered. the response to God when He speaks to your heart, the proper response, we need to acknowledge. We need to answer God when He speaks. Now, understand that the first three times that God called, he didn't really fully understand what was going on. The Bible says that as of that point, the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. However, he knew something was going on. He recognized that there was somebody that was speaking to him. And every time that that voice came, he answered and he responded. Along those same lines, you may not recognize at the moment that it's God Almighty speaking to you, but there are times in our lives when we know something's going on. And when we recognize there's something happening, it ought drive us to prayer to confirm if it is God speaking to our hearts. Here, Samuel had not yet been revealed to the Word of God. It had not been revealed to him yet. And sometimes in our lives, it's very sad. But how sad is it that a Christian, God is speaking and we fail to recognize His voice? The God who saved us, the God who gave His life for us, we ought to be able to recognize His voice as Christians. But thank God, Samuel was a man that when God called, he answered. He didn't understand it all in the beginning. But by the time we come to verse number 10, he realized it was God Almighty that was calling, and he responded immediately, "Speak, Lord, because thy servant heareth." Understand tonight that the only correct response to God when He deals in your heart, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in your car as you're listening to godly music, whether it's talking to a friend about the Lord, if God Almighty speaks to you, the only correct response is to answer, to acknowledge it, and to do so immediately. There was a preacher that said, "To delay is sin." And he was speaking about the invitation and how you sit in a church service and God deals with you, and you know the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart to go forward, to get something right. And yet we justify and say, "I can stay back. If He'll just get through this service, I'll do it next week." Can I tell you tonight, if God is telling you to do something and you put it off and you procrastinate, you delay. To delay is sin, because God expects immediate obedience. And this is where we find Samuel. God called, and immediately he answered. This was an immediate obedience upon his part. And by the way, we'll have an invitation here in just a few moments, as we do at the end of every service. And I challenge you, when God deals in your heart in church, it may be convicting you to get something right. It may be encouraging you to do more. It may be to come and pray on the behalf of your church or your country or a lost loved one. If God speaks to you, listen, you can get things right in your pew. I believe that. But there's something special about coming forward in this invitation and making it real, making it public before God that you mean business. Because 9 times out of 10, not all the time, you can get right in your pew. But 9 times out of 10, if we stay where we are, we justify that we did what was right, but in reality, we were just getting by. We were just procrastinating. We were just getting it off our back, easing our conscience, and there was no real decision made for God. When God speaks, respond. It doesn't have to only be in church. If you're driving down the road and there's a music on and that song stirs your heart, you can pray to God. You can respond to God going down the highway, not closing your eyes, but you can speak to God. Notice with me, Samuel answered. But there's something special I notice here in the life of Samuel. Not only did he answer, but in verses 10 through 14, he didn't only acknowledge God's voice, he listened. In verse number 10, he says here, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things that I have spoken concerning his house when I begin, and I will also make an end. For I have also told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Catch this point right here. Not only did Samuel answer and acknowledge the voice of God, but as we see here in these verses, he listened. He listened to what God had to say. God was revealing unto Samuel things that were going to take place. But notice that Samuel listened to God. I believe with all my heart, God desires to hear our voice. I believe with all my heart, we ought pray daily. We ought come to God and speak to Him and pray to Him. We ought tell Him about our day and ask for things. And we ought pray unto God. He desires to hear our voice. He loves it. But just as much as God desires to hear you speak, I believe God desires for you to listen to Him speak. God is speaking, and we need to stop and listen. Many of you probably are like me. You lay down at night and you begin to pray, and you're so busy talking that you end up falling asleep in your prayers, and you wake up the next morning and you pray. That's what you were supposed to do. But was there any communion back and forth in that prayer? Do we spend all of our time on our knees talking to God without there being any time to listen to His response? I believe Samuel here, he knew God was speaking, but rather than continuing to do all the talking, he just stopped. He said, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." And for a few moments, he sat and he listened to God and what God had to reveal unto him. Friend, can I ask you tonight, when's the last time that you just got alone, you put the cell phone away, you put the television away, you got in your prayer closet alone with God, you got on your knees, but rather than just speaking the entire time as we should, you stopped and said, "Lord, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to search in my heart and allow the Holy Spirit of God to reveal unto me things that He desires to show me." Have you gotten alone with God? You know, God desires a relationship. The thing about a relationship is it's two ways. If you're the one doing all the talking to your spouse and you never allow her to get a word in and you're always speaking, listen, that is a one-sided relationship. But true communion comes when you speak to your spouse and she communicates back with you. There's a relationship there. And ours with God ought to be both ways. Not us all the time asking God for things and speaking to God and telling God about our problems, but there ought to be time in our relationship that the voice of God is so real to us, we stop and we listen. Understand that Samuel, he placed himself in the position to allow God to speak to him and deal with him more thoroughly. He had immediate obedience when he acknowledged and he answered. He had continual obedience as he sat and he listened to the voice of God. Notice with me just lastly in verse number 19, and we'll wrap this up. Verse 19, the Bible records here in chapter number 3, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. You know what that verse says, verse 19? Samuel grew, and the Lord was with Samuel. That verse says that God Almighty blessed Samuel immensely. The blessings of God were upon Samuel. He grew in the Lord. God was with him. I don't know about you tonight, church, but I want the blessings of God on my life. I want God to be able to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on my life. I want the blessings of God on Central Baptist Church. I want to see this church grow closer to God. I want to see us grow closer to God, both spiritually but also numerically. I want to see this church be able to send missionaries around the world, to be able to stand financially so that we can support the ministries. I want this church to be blessed of God. I want our youth group to be blessed of God and have the blessings of God on their lives. My desire is that every teenager that goes through this ministry would grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when they graduate, they move out of the youth group, they continue to serve God however He chooses for him to serve. Whether it's to be a faithful layman in a church, maybe a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, maybe a preacher. I want the blessings of God. We see here in verse 19, Samuel was blessed. But I want you to understand this. Before he could be blessed, before all the blessings could come on Samuel, all the blessings of God hinged on verse 10. When Samuel heard God's voice and he said, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Friend, tonight, we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to recognize when He speaks, which is all the time. And we need to respond appropriately, immediately, and then listen. Samuel could not have been blessed and could not have had the blessings of God on his life had he failed to recognize the voice, if he had been too distracted to hear it in the first place, or if he refused to stop and slow down and listen to God. It's because he responded. It's because he said in his heart, "Speak, Lord, I'm hearing." And that opened the door for the blessings to be rained upon his life. Young person, you're here tonight. The young people that are here, a week from tomorrow, we have VBS, Vacation Bible School. 2 weeks after that, we go to the Bill Rice Ranch for a week of camp. And I promise you, God will be speaking in both of these weeks. There's no doubt about it. God will be speaking both in Vacation Bible School and at camp. And if you will go into those weeks expecting to hear from God and you'll listen, God can do a great work in your life. God changed my life at camp. But if you go through Vacation Bible School and you go through an entire week at camp and you come home unchanged, not closer to God than when you went, the problem's not with God. The problem's with you because you didn't listen. Church, you hear great preaching behind this pulpit every single week. Our pastor is a tremendous man to stand and preach the Word of God unashamedly. We have guests that come in and preach powerfully every single week through our revivals and our mission conferences. But if you've been a member of Central Baptist Church and your life is not continually drawing closer to God, your prayer life and your life in Christ is stagnant. Listen, friend, that's not God's fault. That's not pastor's fault. That's our fault. Because God is speaking. Are you sensitive enough to hear? And are you willing to listen? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the example we have in Samuel, a young man. Lord, as we look at this passage, we understand that it seems as though Samuel was a very wise man. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, we understand that Samuel was just a young boy. Just a young guy. Yet at a young age, he recognized the importance of calling on God. He recognized the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit speak. God, I pray tonight that as we give this invitation, if you've spoken to the hearts of thy people, may they respond appropriately. May you deal thoroughly in their hearts, and may your hand of blessing and your will be done in this invitation.